changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.
Right. So we have been talking about the idea of emotional, physical, sexual abuse for the last week, because so many people, myself included, have experienced it as well. Meemaw, I occasionally write fantasy short stories. Very cool, says Ed. All right, that's very good to know. We've been talking about this because, as I say, and I'm looking for my little thing here that Miroslav always creates for me. There we go. Yeah, the laundry list. The reason we've been talking about abuse for the last week and a half is that so many of us experienced it. And so many of us have lived our lives affected by the abuse that we endured. And the book that I have recommended, I was reading it again this morning. It is for people who are survivors of abuse, people who seem to continually get into abusive relationships, people who sometimes are frequently act out abusively. It's written for both sides of the equation. And I kind of like that. It helped me to understand my father much, much better. And so we've been talking about this because so many of us have experienced it. And I was thinking the other day, I keep using this term, scratched your record, you know? And I know, first of all, millennials are like, what the heck are you talking about? I know you know what I'm talking about, but it just doesn't apply. I think a more accurate metaphor is actually we get a virus loaded into our minds and into our souls. And it's just a virus. It screws up our operating system such that we end up, we can be sensitive, irritable. A person who is sensitive, a person who is irritable, a person who proactively attacks other people verbally just to prevent them from attacking them. So people who have a virus that's been offloaded onto their system, the good thing is, and I truly believe this, in most cases, except with narcissistic personality disorder, which is not incurable by any means, but I don't believe, but certainly takes years of dedicated work. And it doesn't, and it may not be completely that you become the same person that you might have been. But one of the things we want to do is to realize that, again, I'm going to say this again, abusers are sick people, and not sick like you're sick. We've started using that as a judgment. They're ill. They are broken. They are damaged. It's as if they have cancer or whatever. It's not something they chose. And when you begin to embrace and understand that, then you are able to forgive a person like that. And the important reason that you want to forgive a person like that is that your lack of forgiveness keeps you energetically attached to that person. Let me say that again. The lack of forgiveness keeps you energetically attached to that person. So you want to learn to forgive the person so that you can break free. And the other thing is, if you have been abusive towards other people, and that often happens, then what you want to do is you want to learn to forgive yourself, because that's the only way that you're going to improve yourself. Now, one of the things that I found really interesting about the book was that it talked about how, I'm trying to get this pulled over here so I can read it to you, how people who have been abused oftentimes don't realize it. Like I said, in one of my earlier jumpstarts, I was going to a therapist and talked about how my dad punished me and spanked me and stuff like that, but I don't ever think he abused me. And in fact, I said at that point, I had forgiven my father. Well, sometimes you forgive a little too early. Sometimes you need to feel it, et cetera. And then you always need to feel it and then let it go. So a friend of mine who is a counselor sent me this list. And it's from the Adult Children of Alcoholics, I think, which he highly recommends. If you have been, if you had an abusive parent, there does not seem to be like an abuse survivors. At least I have not found one. I haven't looked at assiduously, but there doesn't seem to be an abuse survivors group. But the Adult Children of Alcoholics, it's adult, they actually, from what I understand, Adult Children of Alcoholics and Dysfunctional Parents or something like that is what they call themselves. Anyway, take a listen to this and see if any of this sounds like you. And if so, it might be a tip that you did experience a dysfunctional home growing up. Some of you may already go, I know. And so you're just going to go, yep, 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 yep. And that's kind of what happened for me. Number one, we become isolated and afraid of people and authority figures. I realized that because of my father's domination, et cetera, of me, that whenever, if I go to talk to the president of the board here at my condo association, who is probably one of the nicest guys, I get nervous. And I realize that that's it. So number one, we become isolated and afraid of authority figures. Number two, we become approval seekers and lost our identity in the process. Do you find yourself becoming an approval seeker, a people pleaser? Do you find yourself losing your identity in the process? My identity just flipped and floated for so many years. I remember my brothers saying something which wasn't nice to me, which was intended not to be nice. And that was, no matter who, you're like a sponge. You know, when you were with a woman that had horses, you were into horses. You were with a woman that is into yoga, you're into yoga. What are you into? That's what I have worked to discover. We become frightened by angry people and any personal criticism. I was in a grocery store one day. Does that sound like you, by the way? I'm talking about me a lot, but I'm asking you, do you become frightened by angry people and personal and any personal criticism? I was in the grocery store and this guy was just losing his mind at the clerk, and it had absolutely nothing to do with me. And I felt like I was dead center in the middle of it, just standing there. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything, but my upset level was just off the charts. We are frightened by angry people and any personal criticism. Struggle with that. We either become substance abusers, marry them, or both, or find another compulsive personality disorder, personality such as workaholic, to fulfill our unhealthy abandonment needs. Guilty of some of those, I guarantee you. We live life from the viewpoint of victims, and we are attracted by the weakness in our love and friendship relationships. Wow. Let me say that again, because I actually misspoke. We live life from the viewpoint of victims, and we are attracted by that weakness in our love and friendship relationships. You know, I really think the whole complaining thing is just tied up so well, perfectly into the abuse thing, because an abused person understandably sees themselves as a victim because they were a victim as a child. When you're a child and a grown-up is hitting you, slapping you, pushing you, putting you down, et cetera, you are a victim. Unfortunately, as I said yesterday, we go out into the world, and because nature tends to understand what people are going through, victimizers always find victims. We have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. Does that sound like you? An overdeveloped sense of responsibility, and it's easier for us to be concerned with others rather than ourselves. This enables us to not look too closely at our own faults. Wow. We get guilt feelings when we stand up for ourselves instead of giving in to others. That's when I read these and I go, okay. I sort of feel like, I don't know if you know who David Sedaris is. He's probably one of the most honest authors, and he writes and reads on stage, and he's just so true and honest about his what a mess he is, and yet he's such a wonderful person. Interesting guy. He works every morning until 11 o'clock, and then he goes and picks up trash in the streets of London for 8 hours a day. Every day, just because he does. We become addicted to excitement. Yeah, We become addicted to excitement. I see everybody do. Oh, I was going to say about the standing up for ourselves and giving in to others. The other day, there was a young woman wanted to get on the elevator. We have small elevators here, and she wanted to get on the elevator. And I put up my hand. I said, "Oh, nope, not without a mask." She said, "Okay, well, I'll go get it. Go down to the pool and walk down to the pool and get it." So it was not an issue, but inside, I felt a little twinge of guilt. So there you go. We have an overdeveloped sense of responsibility. Said that. Guilt feelings. We become addicted to excitement. Said that. We confuse love and pity. And to love, tend to love people we can pity and rescue. Don't know that that's necessarily a thing for me so much. We have stuffed our feelings from our traumatic. This is number 10. We have stuffed our feelings from our traumatic childhoods and have lost the ability to feel or express our feelings because it hurts too much. Never got that way, but I've been in therapy since I was 17. Number 11, we judge ourselves harshly and have a very low sense of self-esteem. Yep, totally guilty. Worked on that for years, still do, and have made huge strides in that. Huge strides in that, really have. Because I realized when I was writing my book, Happy This Year, happiness and self-confidence, which is also a part of having high self-esteem. You can't have high self-esteem without self-confidence and vice versa. That those two things are proportionate to your level of happiness. In other words, you can't be any happier than you are, than you have high self-esteem. So you really want to work on that. We are dependent personalities who are terrified of abandonment. That's me, the abandonment part. And we'll do anything to hold on to a relationship in order not to experience painful abandonment feelings, which we received from living with sick people who were never there emotionally for us. Now, this one I don't understand but it's written by adult children of alcoholics. Alcoholism is a family disease, and we become para-alcoholics and took on the characteristics of that disease, even though we did not pick up the drink. Para-alcoholics are reactors rather than actors. I realize that in so much of my life, I react, and that's been the focus of my meditation and all my work all these years. It's called mastering the gap. We all have a gap. When something happens, there's a gap between the action and our reaction. We often don't want to admit that there's a gap because then that puts the responsibility on us to master it or not. And so that's very, very important. So let me ask you, do you see yourself in more than half of those? You don't have to respond. Please don't, by the way. I'm not asking you to say, yep, that's me. My job is to be super honest and vulnerable here, but yours is not necessarily that. I just want you to think. I want you to think, what was it like when you were a kid? Do you need to maybe address some of these issues? Do you find yourself more reactive than active? Do you find yourself feeling trapped? Do you find yourself afraid? You know? I've dug through my emotions for so many years and tried to look at what is it that I'm feeling. Well, you know, when I'm in a bad space, okay, I'm not in a bad space all the time. But when I'm in a bad space, I'm trying to figure out what I'm feeling. And it used to be that I thought I was angry, and then I thought I was sad, and then I thought I was angry, and now I realize I think in many ways I'm scared. I'm scared of other people. I'm scared of situations. And it's because I was legitimately scared all the time as a child. And so now I'm working so that that is not at all my default mode. I'm unlearning it, as Dr. Joe Dispenza says. I'm unlearning that emotion by meditating every morning. And I have to go in and feel that emotion. Every morning, I have to ask myself when and if I felt that emotion in the last 24 hours, and I have to make notes. It's work. Then I have to go back and experience those very same situations without that feeling. And then I have to project into the future a feeling fine, calm, relaxed. We all can do that. So what tends to motivate us is when things get all broken up around us, when life falls apart, that's when we get to put it back together again with intention. So whatever you're going through, make sure that you are living with intention, that you are focusing on what you want, not what you don't want, that you're choosing where you want to go, not where somebody else wants to go. And if you have challenges from your childhood, don't cover them up. Expose them. I mean that. I mean that to a therapist. I mean to talk to a therapist. I mean to get into a group. I mean, if you realize that your life's not working because of wounds and damage you received, they can be healed. And so since I said they can be healed, it's time for you to click share if you would please, and then to type share in the comment section just to let us know, okay? Click share and type share in the comment section. Let's see what everybody else here has to say. I'm seeing some good comments. Shirley Mayo. Hey, Shirley, anybody here for the first time, by the way? Please let us know if you're here for the first time. Oh, I love this. I forget who actually says that said this. Forgiveness is the scent the violet would release when crushed in our hand. The quote is, and the only reason I say this, please forgive me, I'm a quote nerd. The quote is actually, I want to say from the Buddha, and it is, or the Dalai Lama. Nope, the Buddha. And it is, forgiveness is the fragrance the violet releases on the heel that crushes it, or something like that. And the reason I like that is because it talks about a heel. And we tend to say that people who are not nice or good or whatever are heels. Responding versus reacting helps me and the horses, says Linda. I'll tell you what, working with horses was one of the most calming things I ever did, because the horse is going to be more anxious. The horse is always going to match your anxiety level plus about 20%. So you got to stay calm, and horses get spooked. They're prey animals. You're climbing on top of a 1,200-pound prey animal. That means that it is literally scared all the time. Meemaw, thank you for sharing. First one to do so. And Ashley Day shared as well. I am going to say TTFN because I've got one of our fellow jumpstarters I promised I would connect with this morning. So I'm going to do that. Tomorrow we're going to talk about why people are becoming angrier and less considerate. That's one of the things when people interview me, they say, are people becoming angrier and less considerate? It sure as heck seems like it. Yeah, they are. And I'm going to tell you why. And if you have a chance between now and then, watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix. Watch The Social Dilemma. Thanks, everybody, for being here with me. You always brighten my day. I can't tell you how this elevates my mood to be able to share with you and to be able to see all of your comments and to see the new people every day and you sharing. And I just want to personally thank you and tell you how much it means to me sincerely. I love you all. Make it a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. Enjoy today. Bye-bye.
No more, no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more, no more.